The severe shortage of affordable housing in the Lower Mainland is leaving many people without suitable permanent accommodation. The increase in homelessness throughout the region has created a greater need for specific services: foods, beds, showers, clothes, and counseling. This need exists everywhere, not just in the inner core, the downtown east side, but in the suburbs, the residential areas, and places like Collingwood Renfrew. In response to the local need, Collingwood Neighborhood House has created a community shower and breakfast program in January of 2005. The program now provides services for up to 80 people in the neighborhood on any given day. Joanne Stevens is coordinator of the program, and she joins me now by phone. Good morning, Joanne.
It's a rainy morning out there for some people.
It certainly is, and I've seen a few people actually unsheltered in the rain this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe the services that are provided by your program?
Well, on Saturday, we have a full service of breakfast and clothes, shower, support people here. Like this morning, we had a chiropractor here helping people with their backs and their aches and pains. And then they can get some support in terms of pastoral care, if you will, or some advice on how to access other services. And then on Wednesday morning, we don't have the showers, but we do have breakfast, and we have other kinds of care like medical care and help with finding housing and support to get the benefits that they might be entitled to get. And in both of those programs, the major focus is relationship building and trying to help people to find community and a different kind of community that they might already be connected up to that isn't really supporting them very well, and to get them ready to make the next step. Sometimes that takes people a year to do. Sometimes it takes them, you know, the first morning they come in. So everybody's different. Yeah.
So in a sense, providing...
So that's kind of it in a nutshell. And then it gets more complex, of course, with everybody's different predicaments or circumstances that they find themselves in.
So in a sense, it's providing a kind of place, a safe place in the neighborhood where they become part of a greater extended community.
That's right. So they then get a kind of a community that they probably haven't been able to access, because if they've been in one particular area with all kinds of people that have similar problems that they have, here they're going to be connected with people who have more what we would call quote-unquote normal circumstances. It's a blended facility, so there are children here, grandma and grandpas, moms and dads, single people, young and old, and also great diversity in origins, ethnic origins. Yeah.
Who's taking part in the program?
Well, there are a lot of people taking part in the program. Are you thinking who organizes it?
No, who are the people who come to the program?
People who come to the program are regular folks in the neighborhood who are homed and homed well, and then and working or retired. And we have a lot of seniors in our neighborhood and in the Renfrew Collingwood area at large, actually. And then also we have people who are poor and single family living in the neighborhood who come. And then we have people who are living in the neighborhood who would be homeless, but not absolutely homeless. So they might be couch surfing, that kind of thing. And then we do have people who are sleeping on the street. The other kind of people who come from their circumstances might be that they're living in the downtown area or in Burnaby. And so they make their way here. And the kind of overwhelming or the overarching purpose of them coming here is to get more of a normal experience. So there's this idea that it's not quite as ghettoized here, and it's not, it's different than what they're experiencing in other places. So it suits them better, I guess.
You started off with a very few people participating in the program, but have expanded significantly in less than a year. What are the challenges of coming to the neighborhood house for the first time for the people who want to use these services?
I think I think, I can only tell you what people have told me, is that some felt nervous coming into a facility that they didn't know, and they may have even scoped us out from afar kind of thing, watching from the other side of the street for a while and noticed that there are a wide variety of people who come here from different backgrounds and economic levels. And it does look a bit like an institution, although it doesn't function typically as an institution in the community. But so coming into some place that's strange and behaves differently than what they're normally coming to, their imagination works overtime, so it takes them some time to come. The people who have been coming on a regular basis bring people, and what I hear is that the people that they're bringing need some encouragement to come. They can't believe that they would be welcome in a place that looks kind of like I say, a normal institution, like a school or a church or something. You know, they just don't want to be that visible. But when they come, they see that isn't the case here, that they are very welcome. We want them to come. We want them to be here. And so we function differently here. So when they come through the door, we greet them and help them to find out where they can go to get their showers and get the equipment they need, their hygiene equipment to shower, and to let them know that that they can have pretty much whatever we have, that we can meet their needs, they can ask for. And then they can have breakfast and have what they need there as well.
Okay. You described quite well how word of mouth has kind of worked to kind of extend the trust that people who were already attending were feeling and brought in other people sort of as a result of that. But how did you, when you first threw your doors open, how did you first begin to attract the people that you wanted to come to the Neighborhood House?
Well, we were so excited about being able to do this, and to some degree, with this particular kind of population, we didn't have experience about offering this kind of service. A lot of people had connected with people who were homeless or living in abject poverty before and weren't concerned about connecting with people in these kinds of circumstances. But in terms of the actual operation, we were quite organized, we discovered, although we didn't know that we were as organized as we needed to be, but we discovered that we were. And so that freed us up. A lot of the volunteers were quite excited to be able to support people in our neighborhood in these circumstances. So they would come in the morning with their cars, and if nobody was here, and nobody came for the first 4 weeks, we made many bags of lunches, and they got in the cars and they went and looked for people who were homeless or looking in need of community, and took the lunches to them or left lunches at sites where people were obviously sleeping if they weren't there, and left notices about where we could be found, and encouraged people to come and brought them.
Within the Neighborhood House itself, did you encounter any stereotypes or fears that people within the Neighborhood House had about the homeless when you started up the program?
Oh, yes, we did. In some cases, there were absolutely no fears, but in other cases, there were. And largely, that had to do with people's comfortability about knowing what to do, feeling confident and assured that we knew, or some of us knew, what we were doing, and that we knew the people who were coming. That was large. That took away a lot of fear when people knew that we knew the people who were coming, that we knew them on first name basis. And so we did a lot of training, and we received a lot of feedback from people in the community, in community organizations and business, within our own staff, and other participants of other programs. And we took that very seriously, and we used that material to help answer the questions that they had and to support them to be able to be welcoming to people who they wouldn't normally encounter on a day-to-day basis in an institution.
Did you encounter fears that would be fears around, for instance, children or safety, that sort of thing?
We had fears certainly around children. Should my child see people who look like this? Would our children be safe, or would they, you know, be? I'm only imagining in myself, but from, you know, you can get a sense of what people are fearing about. Will my children be, is it okay, is it hygienic enough where these people sit and so on? Can my children crawl in the same space? Will they hurt my children? Will they speak in a way that is respectful around children? And then we had some parents who were concerned about what they imagine to be drug use, and then we had fears from seniors about being safe because they're so vulnerable. We had concerns around theft. We had the major concern, though, that stands out for me. Others may have different experiences, but it stands out for me is how to talk to people. How can we get connected with them? And we don't have any. I get feedback, I don't have any experience with people, I have nothing in common to share. And just a comment like that helps to tell people the kinds of things, in fact, that they really do share.
And were you able to work with people in your community to ameliorate some of these fears or to respond to some of them?
Well, sure, and we did have people coming in who needed to learn how to be here in a way that was respectful, and that provided opportunity to connect people up in more helpful ways with one another, and then we had meetings. Like, we had meetings with all the various departments in our organization, and we had meetings with some of the participant groups. And the other thing is, it's very important in this program, and it's sort of the foundation of the program, is that there are a number of organizations in the community that sit on the committee. So we have that reach of other organizations also helping people to understand and become more integrated here. So it's, you know, the health center, for instance, up the street, the church across the street, the Renfrew Community Center. So there was these tentacles out in the community also receiving and talking to people.
Joanne, do you think that we see the full extent of homelessness in our neighborhoods?
I don't. But because we don't see it, I can't be absolutely certain. But what I hear often is that, you know, there are people who come here who are absolutely homeless, and that's a term that's often used for people who are living in tents or on benches and so on. For me, I wouldn't say absolutely homeless that way, because I value wherever they're living as their home and their way of making that home possible for themselves. But that would be a term that you would often hear. There are the hidden homeless in the sense that people are living on couches or going from relative to relative or friend to friend. And then there are people also who can be understood as homeless if they're paying more than 30% of their income. Some people would call that at risk of homelessness, but if they don't have that security of a home, it's hard to call it home. You know, if it's not really there for you in a very sure way where you can live freely and flourish, begin to flourish, yeah.
Can I ask you just in a nutshell to say, if you were the government, what measures you think need to happen to solve homelessness?
Mm-hmm. Well, people on our committee and in this organization speak to government agencies and other support agencies all the time, and one of the things that we advocate is certainly that there be more affordable housing. that there be different kinds of housing to help people in stages to move from the street through until they can make steps where they're quite independent and can live independently. So there are many stages of housing that could be developed. We are interested in intensive support so that the curve of healing and being on their feet can be much stronger and have much greater effect and be much shorter. We also advocate increased income in terms of social assistance that various people get, and that is, I think, probably one of the major steps to getting housed and having some security to be able to think about, you know, getting housing or think about having regular food coming in. And then the other thing that we advocate too is health care and other organizations getting involved in similar ways as ourselves to help people to get to those places where they can make those next steps.
How can people get information on Collingwood Neighbor Houses program and get involved in that?
They'd be able to do that by calling here. The telephone number is 604-435-0323. And so they can learn, come and have breakfast. You know, we can't take the whole city at once, but if you have a chance over the winter time and spring, come and have breakfast with us. It's open to everyone. Those who can afford can to give a donation. We'd gladly receive that so that we can continue our work. And then also, if they want more detail or if they would like to volunteer or donate to the program, then they can call me and ask for me.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, good luck with the program.
Okay. Have a good day now.
Bye now.
Bye.
I've been speaking with Joanne Stevens. She's the program coordinator of the Community Shower and Breakfast Program at the Collingwood Neighborhood House. And the phone number that she gave, if you want to get in contact with them, is 604-435-0323. And you're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.